RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome to English Bulletin program of a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, listener. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. The House of Representatives DPR to form supervisory team to look into November 4 riot. Indonesia eyes electricity export to neighboring countries. Indonesia major destination of industries from home and abroad. Now the news in detail. The Commission 3 of the House of Representatives will set up a team to supervise an inquiry into a riot that marked an otherwise peaceful demonstration on Friday. A member of Commission 3, Sufmi Dasko Ahmad, stated on Tuesday that no one will be allowed to interfere in the legal process as it can lead to injustice. Police had earlier arrested and is questioning 25 people suspected to be provocateurs and looters. They were picked up in connection with the rioting that happened after the peaceful demonstration ended on Friday. These people, residents of the fishing neighborhoods in Muara Baru, were confirmed as not being part of any Islamic organizations that had called for the demonstration at the Monas or National Monument and Merdeka Palace. They spontaneously indulged in these crimes after seeing rioting in Monas and Merdeka Palace in the media. Indonesia plans to sell electricity to Malaysia, Thailand, and Singapore as the government is targeting greater profitability from several coal mine mouth power plants that are anticipated to soon be completed in Sumatra. National Development Planning Board Bappenas head Bambang Brojonegoro said the plan was feasible as the power plants would have excess capacity. Bambang said electricity demands were huge in peninsular Malaysia and southern Thailand, where Indonesia could meet those demands at competitive prices. President Joko Widodo's administration is targeting where Indonesia could meet those demands at competitive prices. President Joko Widodo's administration is targeting to complete its ongoing 35,000 megawatt electricity procurement program by 2019. Of the target, 7,800 megawatt will be supplied from mine mouth power plants. With huge natural and human resources, Indonesia becomes a major destination of industries to develop their businesses. It was said by Deputy Chairman of Indonesian Institute of Science, LIPI, Bambang Subianto, on the sidelines of the 6th Science, Technology and Innovation Forum in Jakarta Tuesday. As a matter of fact, Bambang said, in the era of ASEAN Economic Community, people in ASEAN countries could find new products easily.
Dengan bonus demografi yang serta sumber daya alam yang kaya, Indonesia menjadi magnet.
Thanks to demographic bonus and natural resources, Indonesia becomes a magnet for industries from home and abroad to market their products. People could easily find new products with modern technology from all over the world in the domestic market. In the era of the ASEAN Economic Community, the ASEAN Integrated Market will ease the trade activities among the ASEAN countries.
Bambang also said that in the era of ASEAN Economic Community, Indonesia should improve its competitiveness with development of science, technology, and innovation. The number of Indonesian researchers in the field of science and technology is still insufficient compared to researchers from many other countries. The Indonesian government will increase the number of researchers given the fact that Indonesia is rich of natural resources. It was said by Director General for Innovation Development of the Ministry of Research and Technology and Higher Education, Jumain Ape, in a press conference at the 6th Forum of Science, Technology and Innovation 2016 in the Indonesian Institute of Science, LIPI, in Jakarta, Tuesday.
Kita harus meningkatkan ini jumlah peneliti kita.
We must increase the number of our researchers so that we can carry out research activities which is expected. Indonesia has a huge biodiversity and natural resources. I think it needs a lot of researchers. LIPI has only 8,000 researchers and 4,000 engineers, so it is only 12,000 altogether. As a matter of fact, the number of Indonesian population achieves 252 million.
In addition, Jumain Ape also said that one of the reasons of the least amount of the researchers of science and technology in Indonesia is the lack of interest of young people to become researchers after graduation. The lack of government support contributes also to the shortage of the Indonesian researchers. Therefore, the government will find out new breakthroughs supported by policy to boost the development and research, so that the number of Indonesian researchers in the field of science and technology would increase. This news comes to you from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. European Union Indonesia Business Dialogue 2016 was held on Tuesday in Jakarta with the theme Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, a new framework for trade and investment relations. In the dialogue, the European Union and Indonesian policymakers and businessmen exchanged views on development of trade relations in framework of Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, CEPA. The agreement aims at strengthening the EU-Indonesia trade relations. The EU Commissioner for Agriculture and Rural Development, Phil Hogan, in his opening remarks said the business dialogue becomes a milestone in the negotiation to formulate the Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement.
Indonesia is a key partner of the European Union, and CETA will open the door to a combined market of more than 750 million people. In relation to agriculture and food, the potential is great. Between 2011 and 2015, the Indonesian agri-food market increased by 57%. There is a growing consumer population here, estimated at 45 million Indonesians today, which is expected to rise to 135 million by 2030.
Phil Hogan said further, agribusiness industry is very important and the opportunity is wide open. The business dialogues includes the sectoral dialogues on agriculture, food and beverages, health, automotive, transportation and logistics. The high-level representatives of the European Union and Indonesian government attended the dialogues. The event was organized by Europe-Indonesia Business Network and the Indonesian Industry and Trade Chamber, KADIN, and supported by the European Union Delegation for Indonesia and Brunei Darussalam. The Indonesian government said that the Jakarta-Surabaya medium-speed railway project is still up for grabs for investors. Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi said that the ministry will offer the project to other countries with railway expertise. However, the Agency for the Assessment and Application of Technology, BPPT, is still conducting a preliminary study on the project and is expected to conclude it in 2 months' time. The preliminary study result will be handed over to Japan investors. The minister could not confirm about its financing scheme. However, he said that the government would prioritize private investors. The coordinating minister for maritime affairs, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, will depart for Japan on November 9th to help further talks about the development of Patimban Port and project design of Jakarta-Surabaya Railway. Luhut said that the government is mulling three financing options, which include government-to-government and business-to-business schemes. Luhut said that the president has agreed to conduct a more detailed study. The last item. The Museum of Zoology, or the Museum Zoologicum Bogorensi, or MZB, under the Indonesian Science Institute LIPI Management in Bogor, West Java Province, has millions of fauna specimens. It is considered the most complete such museum in Southeast Asia. Professor of the University of Indonesia, Professor Emeritus Somadikarta, said on Tuesday that people should understand the importance of this museum and what it offers so that they can benefit from it. The museum provides knowledge and truth and serves the people honestly. Museum ethics should be understood by all people. Zoologicum Bogorensi Museum's director Hari Sutrisno noted that the museum has 3,030,657 specimens, including 3,007 mollusks, 134 nematode worms, 15,804 insects and arthropods, 70 crustaceans, 130 fish, 498 reptiles, 334 amphibians, 1,200 birds, and 460 mammals. He added that the museum was established in 1894 under the name of Lambo Zoologist Laboratory. In order to commemorate the 122nd anniversary of the museum, the Indonesian Science Institution would hold various events such as talk shows and field trips. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. The House of Representatives DPR to form supervisory team to look into November 4 riot. Indonesia eyes electricity export to neighboring countries. Indonesia major destination of industries from home and abroad. That was the news.
This is Sarah Reward Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary. Today's commentary is on Paris Meeting 2. 5 months ago, Paris hosted a conference on the Middle East to revive the peace process between the Palestinian and Israel. Yet the conference was not enthusiastically followed by the warring parties. Israel refused to be present at the meeting, which was also attended by representatives from the United Nations, the Middle East countries, and the Arab League. It prefers direct negotiations with the Palestinians. Though in fact, the last negotiation between Israel and Palestinians in April 2014 was disappointing. At that time, both parties insisted on their own stance. Palestine attacked Israel upon an agreement about the release of prisoners, while Israel did not want to continue the negotiations because Palestine brought Hamas into its unity government. Israel also showed the same attitude when invited by France to attend the Middle East conference in Paris in December. Israel considers the meeting was only to distract direct negotiations with the Palestinians. In a meeting with an advisor to Israel security, the French envoy, Pierre Vimont, was informed about Israel's unwillingness to participate in the conference. Pierre Vimont then met with Palestinian officials in Ramallah, but there is no comment about the meeting with Israel. Although Israel has clearly rejected, France, according to sources of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, still intends to hold the Middle East conference. Palestinian official Saib Erekat said Pierre Vimont explained at the meeting that France would issue an invitation to a conference in December. Meanwhile, Nabil Abu Rudaina, spokesman to the Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, said he would support the conference whether Israel to participate or not. France has been trying to revive the peace process in the Middle East by organizing a conference in early June and in December 2016. The meeting last June saw the possibility of the two parties to come forward to the negotiating table, but it resulted in Israel's refusal to negotiate with mediation. In the previous year, June 2015, also in Paris, a conference on the Middle East was held. Uniquely, Palestine and Israel were not invited. French Foreign Minister Jean-Marc Acrot then commented if the two met, negotiation will only last 5 minutes without success. Actually, direct negotiation efforts between the two parties was done 2 years ago, sponsored by the United States, and the results were not satisfactory. According to Israel, only direct negotiations could lead to peace with the Palestinians and considers the efforts of France as a mere diversion, while the Palestinians refuse to negotiate directly as long as Israel continues to build Jewish settlements on Palestinian land, which will become its territory after independence later. France's efforts are seen by many as a mediation step, but it seems Palestine and Israel have different opinion. Whatever it is, the efforts leading to peace should be supported. It is in line with Indonesia's support for the Palestinians to become an independent state. Well, that was commentary today on Paris Meeting 2. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome to Today in History. The first historical event that we will discuss is the day Cambodia gained its independence from France. Cambodia took its independence from France on November 9, 1953. France began occupying Cambodia in 1863, but after 90 years, Cambodia won its independence and became a sovereign country. 1 year later, the former leader of the Indochina state, King Norodom Sihanouk, returned from exile in Thailand. Sihanouk then established a political party and held a general election. After winning the election, Sihanouk managed to oust the Communist Party and gain all the seats in the Cambodian government. Next, we move to the blackout of New York on November 9, 1965. On November 9, 1965, at 5:27 p.m., a blackout occurred across several northeastern states and part of Canada as millions of people were hit by a series of power failures, some living without power for up to 14 hours. The blackout spanned across 80,000 miles and affected more than 30 million people. Power outages were attributed to a failure at the electrical distribution center of Niagara Park, as the center was not able to distribute the flow of electricity due to acquired damage. More than 30 million people affected. 800 people were stranded in the subways of New York, and dozens of planes could not land due to malfunctions of air traffic control. This event was known as the Northeast Blackout. We conclude today's segment of Today in History with the fall of the Berlin Wall on November 9, 1989. The Berlin Wall was an important symbol of the Cold War between the West Bloc and East Bloc after the World War II. The division of Berlin began after Allied forces defeated Germany in 1945. The Berlin Wall was built on August 13, 1961, to prevent a large number of people escaping from East Berlin to West Berlin in the region of West Germany. But in the late 80s, communism and Soviet Russia in Eastern Europe fell. Finally, on 9 November 1989, the Berlin Wall was brought down by protesters as a symbol of the collapse of communism in Europe. Thank you.
listener. That was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome to Void Green. In today's edition, we'll talk about Kuburaya is an important habitat for marine mammals. The Natural Resources Conservation Center in West Kalimantan said the result of DNA tests on marine mammals which are netted by fishermen in the region of Padang Tikar, Kuburaya in April 2016, proved the existence of dolphin without fins or porpoise in the region. It was announced by head of BKSDA West Kalimantan, Sustio Iriono, in Pontianak on Monday, escorted by Antara. The DNA test was jointly carried out with the World Wildlife Fund, WWF Indonesia, in cooperation with the Indonesian Biodiversity Research Center, Udayana University. Sustio moreover said the porpoise included into the smaller species of catasin with a size of only 2 meters. Another marine mammals which included in the cetacean species, namely whale and dolphin. West Kalimantan Program Manager, WWF Indonesia, Albertus Chiu said that the DNA test result to the porpoise species found in the waters of Kuburaya some time ago is very important, given the lack of data about the mammal species in the world. According to him, porpoise is a shy animal. The research toward porpoise is difficult to be done due to the lack of encounter with the aquatic wildlife species in various locations in the world. According to Albertus, there has not been done specific research on the species in Indonesia. He added that the findings of other marine mammals, such as the whales which were stranded last October in the district of Padang Tikar, as well as the finding of dolphins from the survey results of WWF Indonesia since 2011, prove that the waters of Kuburaya is an important habitat for marine mammals. From 88 catasin species in the world, 34 of them found in Indonesia, and 3 species can be found in the Kuburaya Regency waters with a complete composition. According to Sustio Iriono, the socialization to public about the existence of marine mammal needs to be implemented as a mutual action plan, since the animals included in the category of protected animal based on the Law No. 5, 1990, and Presidential Decree No. 7, 1999. Meanwhile, the habitat of the animal should be maintained and protected so that the animal habitat can be decided as the essential ecosystem area. On the other hand, the head of Agriculture, Fishery and Maritime Subdivision, the Regional Development Planning Agency of Kuburaya Regency, Muhammad Riza Iqbal, said the finding of new marine mammals in Kuburaya Regency is proudly presented. It shows that the waters of Kuburaya becomes more important to be a mutual attention. Muhammad Riza Iqbal hoped any program that will be developed by the parties should be in balance between the interests of economy, social, and environment. That was Void Green.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with news in brief. Indonesia plans to sell electricity to Malaysia, Thailand, and Singapore as the government is targeting greater profitability from several coal mine mouth power plants that are anticipated to soon be completed in Sumatra. National Development Planning Board Bappenas head Bambang Brojonegoro said the plan was feasible
as the power plants would have excess capacity. With huge natural and human resources, Indonesia becomes a major destination of industries to develop their businesses. It was said by Deputy Chairman of Indonesian Institute of Science, LIPI, Bambang Subianto, on the sidelines of the 6th Science, Technology and Innovation Forum in Jakarta Tuesday. The number of Indonesian researchers in the field of science and technology is still insufficient compared to researchers from many other countries. The Indonesian government will increase the number of researchers given the fact that Indonesia is rich of natural resources. European Union-Indonesia Business Dialogue 2016 was held on Tuesday in Jakarta with the theme Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, a new framework for trade and investment relations. In the dialogue, the EU and Indonesian policymakers and businessmen exchanged views on development of trade relations in framework of Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, CEPA. The Indonesian government said that the Jakarta-Surabaya medium-speed railway project is still up for grabs for investors. Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi said that the ministry will offer the project to other countries with railway expertise. The Museum of Zoology, or the Museum Zoologicum Bogorensi, MZB, under the Indonesian Science Institute LIPI Management in Bogor, West Java Province, has millions of fauna specimens. It is considered the most complete such museum in Southeast Asia. Listener, that was news in brief.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia Broadcasting Daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 95 to 5 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at english.rriworldservice.com. Listener, our next segment is Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to a monument which becomes icon of Kediri in Java province. Stay tuned. Listeners, if we visit a city, usually we find out what the most famous object of the city is. It can be food, tourism object, or icon of the city. In Indonesia, precisely in Kediri East Java, there is beautiful monument which is very luxurious, namely Simpang Lima Gumul. The monument is similar with Arc de Triomphe in Paris, France. Simpang Lima Gumul monument has 804 meters wide and 25 meters high. This number refers to the establishment of Kediri, namely 25th March 804 Christian. At every side of the monument, there are sculptured reliefs which describe about history of Kediri and the art and culture of Kediri. There is also Ganesha statue, one of gods who is worshipped by Hindu people as god of knowledge and intelligence, protection and wisdom. In Simpang Lima Gumul Monument, there is a meeting room which is at the main building. On the upper floor, there are auditorium and mini market at lower floor. Besides, there is also multi-purpose room at the basement. This building also has three underground access roads to get to the monument. As icon of the city, Simpang Lima Gumul Monument is very crowded, especially at the nights and weekends. Moreover, there are many vendors who sell various kinds of foods, beverage, and souvenirs at Tugu Market. This market is called Tugu, which is abbreviation of Setu Minggu, meaning Saturday and Sunday. On holiday, the monument is open for public. It means you can enter and go to the top of monument to witness scenery and activity will take place in the monument complex. Listeners, Simpang Lima Gumul administratively is located at Tugu Rejo Village, Kediri Regency, East Java. The intersection of the road brings five roads to Pare, Pagu, Plosok Klaten, Gampang Rejo, and Pesantren. It is not difficult to access the location of Simpang Lima Gumul. One of the roads which can be accessed is through Surabaya, Pare, Kediri. Simpang Lima Gumul has a distance 6 kilometers from the center of the city. It takes around 10 minutes by cars. The development of the monument at Simpang Lima Gumul has been begun since 2008. This monument was initiated by Sutrisno, the regent of Kediri at the time, and targeted a central of economy and also new trade. Well, listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Simpang Lima Gumul. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Listener, thank you for still being with us, the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestions or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia, or to our email address at info@voi.co.id and english@voi.co.id. Listener, now let's listen to our segment, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today, we feature a topic entitled hobby, which in English means hobby. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say them slowly and you can repeat after me. Hobby. Hobby, which means hobby. Akhir pekan. Akhir pekan, which means weekend. Suka. Suka. To like. Olahraga. Olahraga. Sport. Nonton TV. Nonton TV. To watch television or TV. Memancing ikan. Memancing ikan. To fish. Menyanyi. Menyanyi. To sing. Menari. Menari. To dance. Mendengarkan musik klasik. Mendengarkan musik klasik. To listen classical music. Film. Film. Film or movie. Nanti malam. Nanti malam. Tonight. Bersama. Bersama. Together. Jam berapa? Jam berapa? What time? Jam 7 malam. Jam 7 malam. 7 p.m. Listener, now we give you an example of conversation entitled hobby, or in English means hobby. The conversation is between A. Dano and B. Lina. I'll say the sentence twice slowly, and you can repeat after me. A. Dano. Apa yang suka kamu lakukan di saat akhir pekan? Apa yang suka kamu lakukan di saat akhir pekan? Which means, what do you usually do at the weekend? B. Lina. Aku suka berolahraga, menonton TV, dan memancing ikan. Kalau kamu? Aku suka berolahraga, menonton TV, dan memancing ikan. Kalau kamu? Usually I do sport, watching TV and fishing. How about you? A. Danu. Aku suka menyanyi, menari, dan mendengarkan musik klasik. Aku suka menyanyi, menari, dan mendengarkan musik klasik. I like singing, dancing, and listen to classical music. B. Lina. Apakah kamu suka nonton film? Apakah kamu suka nonton film? Do you like to watch film? A. Dano. Suka. Suka. Yes, I do. B. Lina. Kalau begitu, bagaimana kalau nanti malam kita menonton bersama? Kalau begitu, bagaimana kalau nanti malam kita menonton bersama? Well, why don't we watch movie together tonight? A. Dano. Baik, jam berapa? Baik, jam berapa? Okay, at what time? B. Lina. Jam 7 malam. Jam 7 malam. At 7 p.m. A. Dano. Baik, aku tunggu kamu di rumah. Baik, aku tunggu kamu di rumah. All right, I wait for you at home. That was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Listener, hopefully it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thank you for your attention. See you again next week and sampai jumpa. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we'll introduce an Indonesian pop singer who also known as one of Indonesian diva, namely Ruth Sahanaya or Utek. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Kaulah Segalanya by Ruth Sahanaya. Happy listening.
Mungkin
Listeners, you've just listened to the song Kaulah Segalanya. Together with her two colleagues, Chris Dayanti and Titi DJ, Ruth Sahanaya form as the Three Diva. The name is very appropriate for them because the three famous singers have outstanding capability in the field of singing. Likewise, their songs are very popular in the country, even abroad. The relationship between Ute with Chris Dayanti and Titi DJ in the Three Diva brings more experience in her singing career. Ute, who is Ambon Bleed, since adolescence has often appeared to sing. She began her career in the Indonesian music industry in 1987 when she launched her first album entitled Kasih and sold out in the market. The name of Ruth Sahanaya or Ute more well known when she launched the song Kaulah Segalanya or You Are My Everything. Ute not only succeed in selling albums, but also achieved a lot of title in various festivals. Some festivals have been followed by Ute, included Midnight Sun Song Festival in Finland in 1992, received the title of Grand Prix winner, and became a guest vocalist in the concert of Mario Frangoli in Herod Atticus Acropolis, Athens, or Greece, on October 5 to 6, 2002, and she also performed in a duet with Mario's slow song Naturaleza Muerta. Ute also has a duet with Phil Perry in the East-West Collaboration in Peace event at Garuda Wisnu Kencana, Jimbaran, Bali, in December 2002. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Astaga by Ruth Sahanaya. Happy listening.
Yang
Listener, the song that you've just listened entitled Astaga by Ruth Sahanaya, Utek. The song is proven that Utek is not only succeeded in a medium slow beat, but she also favored in a rapid and dynamic music. Utek has held large concerts several times, such as the 25th anniversary concert in 2011. Well, listener, to conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Bawalah Daku Pergi by Ruth Sahanaya. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.